All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys, as always, that the illustrious attorney Stan McDonald is indeed the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee. And oh, by the way, he is your daily sponsor of the Right Side Way. I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. All right, I referenced it a moment ago, but let me just say there's a lot of buzz out there right now in military circles. The liberal media has been waiting for what considered to be the great purge of 2025, the mass firing of every general and admiral in the ranks of our armed forces. But it's not happening. But what is happening is, first of all, a tightening of the standards, a return to warfighting, if you will, a determination to be a vaunted fighting force capable of defeating and deterring our enemies on the world stage. And to that end, there have been some firings and some so-called early retirements. But I got news. It's someone's wearing multiple stars on their shoulders. It's really not an early retirement. It's just retirement because they likely already served for well over three decades. Now, that being said, there has been a change in some leadership positions. Yes, there has. And why not? Today, it was announced that President Trump has nominated Lieutenant General Christopher LaNeve, former division commander for the 82nd Airborne, to be the next vice chief of staff of the Army. The man he's replacing is General James Mingus, who, by the way, worked for former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Mark Milley. Mark Milley, there's a name that some would choose not to talk about. So the guy who's being replaced worked for Milley. The new guy coming in was the commander of the 82nd Airborne Division. Well, the liberal media is claiming this is heresy. This is questionable. This is unexpected. This shouldn't happen. And I'm calling bunk on that. You know why? Because the president needs to know that his military doctrine will be pursued, that his policies will be enforced, and that when he speaks to our allies and enemies as a commander-in-chief, that there's no one working in the back channels to undermine his authority. Lieutenant General LaNeve, he looks like a warrior to me, and that's what Trump wants. That's what America needs. So let's talk about this, though. Let's talk about the bigger picture, not just that one assignment, but let's talk about the idea of what it means to actually have standards and to have loyalty in your folks. You ever watched an organization and found yourself wondering if anybody there had any idea how to herd cats? I mean, how do you take a bunch of differing opinions, different skill sets, widely different personalities, and you get them all to ride for the same brand? And oh, by the way, to ride in the same direction. Now, make no mistake, every single organization, every single team is made up of different folks with different backgrounds, and oftentimes they have differing opinions. But how do you harness those differences to create an organization that can accomplish the mission set before them? Well, I'll be honest, like many of you, I've watched the level of discord, the lack of consistent messaging, and the very questionable decisions that were made during the Biden era. And I also watched with dismay prior to that as the deep state and the never Trumpers who spent the first full year, 4 years of Trump's first administration trying to undercut his every move. And I believe that both were a level of dysfunction unlike anything we've ever seen. Presidential administrations are unique animals. They are. They're not built over time. They don't have a great deal of legacy leadership. There's a short period of time between the election, where the hopes and dreams of what is gets to be put together, and on the same day, everybody walks into work, turns on the lights in their new offices. Support staff is often the same. There's some protocols and procedures, some bureaucrats that may be there. Some things have been codified, so you got to deal with them as they were. But unless the incoming administration has been effectively doing their due diligence well before they even win the election, the fact is they're putting together an entire organization in record time and then hoping for the best. For this reason, among others, there's no wisdom in choosing people to fill key roles on the basis of political payback or for the appearances of breaking some kind of glass ceiling or checking off a demographic box. You got to have all the right folks and all the right jobs to keep the ship moving in the right direction, and there absolutely must be an answer person at the top who can herd the cats. But that cat herding, it can only go so far. That cat herding can only go so far. The person in the office of the presidency has to be able to put a signature on something and defend it to the general public. You can only hide the dysfunction so long before the team becomes obviously and very apparently incapable of producing real results. Several years back, I had the honor of commanding an infantry battalion. It was truly one of the highlights of my military career, and when I took command, I issued what is often referred to as my command philosophy. It's an actual document that's formatted in Army style like a memorandum for record to all of my subordinate commanders, my senior NCOs, my troop leaders, down to the squad level. It's a document that many commanders put together. It's a way of recounting the style, the preferences, the do's and the don'ts, and the expectations that sum up the manner in which the commander intends to lead the unit. So I did that. I put all my thoughts on paper, and I met with my staff and my leadership within about an hour of taking the guide on and assuming command, and I outlined it for them, and I gave every one of them a copy. But it was not something that I threw together for that occasion. It was a summation of lessons learned the hard way over years spent serving and leading in a variety of capacities, both civilian and military. Now, I won't bore you with all the details. Suffice to say, there were three key points that I told them that I wanted to see in our organization. Three key points that I believe are part of what makes an organization work well. Three things that if they're not all there, well, then it would mean we're not fully functioning. It's possible to get some things done with only one of the three. It's likely you can even expect the organization to be viewed as moderately successful at times with two of the three. But in my experience, an organization will never be able to fully operate with optimal skill and top-line results without all three. I even had this done and posted on the wall of my team rooms during my deployments. I told my troops, my subordinate leaders, that the goal of the organization, here's the three things, you ready? The goal of any organization should be three things: proficient, effective, and cohesive. Those are the three things: proficient, effective, and cohesive. And if those three things are all there, clicking into place and kept there by strong leadership, then the organization will succeed against all stacked odds. So here's how I break them down. And this is why I'm talking about the reason why Trump is putting his people in place. His military generals are swapping out. He needs it. Because the first one, proficiency, what is that? Well, that equates to the individuals that have necessary skills for their respective positions, right? You got people that are proficient. There's no room for feel-good appointments or political payback. An organization needs to know it has members that know their role and have the right level of training and education. Every member of the organization ought to strive to become the most qualified and knowledgeable person at their particular assignment. It's common among the members of any organization to have those go-to type people without whom the organization can't survive, but it's far less common to have such a high level of proficiency that the organization itself becomes the go-to organization because the time was taken to recruit and install the best and most proficient members. Proficiency, that's huge. All right, how about the second one? Effectiveness. You got proficiency, but what about effectiveness? Well, first of all, proficiency and effectiveness are not the same thing. An individual can be highly qualified, and they can also be the most, proficient at their position, but then be the least effective at the same time. Effectiveness takes your proficiency and combines it with a work ethic and an attitude. To do what is right because it's right, to do what's right in a timely manner, to train your subordinates to do the same, to take the skill sets you've been given and utilize them with a lean-forward mentality. In everything that an individual does, whether it be processing pay or qualifying with a weapon or managing an office or setting up energy policies or whatever, the reality is proficiency is required, but you still have to be effective at what you do. All right, but there's one more. And this one doesn't deal with skill, and that's cohesiveness. You see, the quickest way to undo proficiency and effectiveness is for a member of a team to act like solo artists. Even the finest legacy organizations can come unraveled if all the members can't trust each other, or always looking out for themselves, or they don't hold up their end of the assignment. A leader should be able to remind those that they lead regularly of the legacy they're a part of, remind others outside the organization who they are. Subordinate leaders should likewise take care of their folks at all times and put them first on the agenda. If a leader builds that brand and builds that esprit de corps, exhorts folks to be the best because they're part of the best, then great things are going to happen. Every single member of an organization should be proud then to be part of it. Okay, so I said all that. Proficient, effective, cohesive. Those are the three magic words for an organization to be like humming on all cylinders. So ask yourself next time the Trump administration declares a person to take on a position or takes a stance or has its people making the rounds on the talk circuit or creates a result that we can all see and even feel or removes a general and replaces him with another one. Does it seem like it's coming from a team that's proficient, effective, and cohesive? Because that's what Trump is building. That's what he's putting in place. That's why he wants who he wants in certain positions. And the media and the liberal left, they don't get a say in that. The Trump administration is not interested in appearances or glass ceilings. It's not about it's about anything more or less than proficient, effective, and cohesive. Because it's for the American people. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.